Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time again to grab your gear and take to the road as we ride along in the Pedego podcast and explore the e-bike revolution. Join us as we talk with the entrepreneurs behind this movement and the love stories of those riding along. Brought to you by Pedego Electric Bikes. And today, well, we're fortunate. We got a love story. We got somebody who loves doing this so much. They do it every day. I don't know that I do anything every day other than get up and go to work every day. But we have somebody who's going to share their story with us. From Tucson, we have Jack Hemingway with us. Is that correct? Did I get the name right?
You did.
Jack Hemingway, I'm told that you ride your Pedego not once in a while, not once a week, but every day. Is this true?
It is true. I absolutely love my Pedego. And I started riding my Pedego about, we bought, my wife and I bought them in April of last year in 2021.
Okay.
And I've been riding virtually every day since then. And it's been coming up on a little over 9 months now, and I've ridden 3,368 miles.
Oh, my goodness. Jack, you're addicted.
Yeah, well, I don't know. That's what my wife says about me, that I have an addicted personality. I do like to stay, you know, in relatively good shape. And, you know, I found that Pedego bicycle is a phenomenal way to do such.
All right, we're going to break it down. We're going to try and understand why and how. So what was it that got you on a bicycle? Were you a big bike rider before, or did you stumble onto this or see somebody else doing it? How did you decide to pick up an electric bike at all?
Well, it's interesting. I started bicycling as most people do as a kid, and I always loved riding to school. And then I got into a little competitive cycling, not super competitive, but stuff that kept me busy and in shape. And then I picked up a really nice road bike, and I started riding that. And then I've ridden mountain bikes and all those kinds of things.
Been with you on all those journeys here, yeah. But yeah, somewhere along the way, I quit. I don't know about you. I'm in my mid-60s here. I quit somewhere along the way. It sounds like you continued to ride.
Yeah, well, and I'm not too far behind you. I'm actually 63 years old.
Okay.
So I went into the Pedego store here in Tucson, and I was really interested in what an electric bike was, first and foremost.
Yeah, right.
Because I thought, well, this is really for old people, and maybe I'm considered old.
We're never old. When I was young, 63 would have sounded old. Now today, that sounds young to me. You're a youngster to me.
Yeah, I guess so. But what was really great about the Tucson shop is that they had some bikes all set up for you to test ride.
Yeah.
Everything from the Element to what my wife got is a, but she got more of a beach cruiser. And
I think she got like an Interceptor or something. She got some of those things.
Right?
Yeah, that's what I think they told me. Yeah.
So we tried them out. And when I walked into the store, I'm usually attracted to what looks kind of cool, I got to admit.
Big and bad, and you're the guy. You're going to get the one that looks like a giant something here.
Yeah, and I saw this Element, which is, to me, a cross between a BMX bike and a mountain bike.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this thing is pretty cool looking. I couldn't see myself riding another style bike after
really?
I saw the Element.
Well, you know that the producer of our show, this is her favorite bike of all the lineup there. And I want to talk about that a little bit, but let's explore that for a second. What attracted you to that one? Because we've never really talked about in this show different styles of bikes. And electric bikes in the beginning were all just kind of beach cruisers. I think when Don made his first one, they all kind of looked like the big fat tire beach cruisers that we're used to here in Southern California riding down the beach. They weren't necessarily commuter bikes. They weren't necessarily mountain bikes. They weren't necessarily, as you say, the smaller like BMX style bikes. And they're almost like trick bikes and stuff. You can do tricks on them and stuff. All of that evolved over time. And now Pedego, like most brands, has a wide assortment of different styles. And I always wonder why people pick one over another. What was it attracted you to that one?
Well, it's sort of interesting. I'm kind of a guy that is more attracted to something that looks interesting as opposed to maybe functionality.
Okay. A visual appeal, something that it's got to grab you. You got to say, that's cool.
Yeah, it was definitely visual appeal. I thought it was a really cool looking bike. Mm-hmm. I've ridden all kinds of other bicycles, and to me, it was the cool factor that actually got me interested in the Element. I didn't even try any of the other bikes.
There you go.
On the Element, and they adjusted it all for me, and I took a spin on the thing, and I said, this thing is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
I've read reviews of it and stuff. It's almost like they call it a Swiss Army knife. It kind of does a little bit of everything, as opposed to the bigger, heavier performance bikes or the mountain bikes. There's a whole variety of other styles. But this one, they call it a Swiss Army knife. I don't know if that's the way you see it.
Well, you know, it's sort of interesting because, you know, we have in Tucson, we have a lot of these dry riverbeds called washes.
Yes, right. As do we here in Southern California.
And, you know, small rocks and brush and all kinds of other stuff. But you can actually ride an Element, you know, in those washes, which is really interesting. I mean, normally you wouldn't take sort of a beach cruiser style bike and ride, you know, through the washes, but with a big fat tires on the Element and the knobby tires, which they are, they're perfect for riding in the washes.
I picture it though, and I'm not real well versed on the whole lineup, but it seems like a smaller bike. That's like what they, like you said, BMX style little trick bikes. Is it more maneuverable? Is it more?
Oh, it's much more maneuverable. It is. It's a much smaller bike than their typical style.
Yeah, the Beach Road or even the Interceptor, the bigger bike like your wife got here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I don't know. It just grabbed me from the start.
Well, I guess the only reason I ask, because when they told me you ride every day, I thought, well, he must have one of these bigger. It's like somebody who ride a motorcycle every day. I picture then you're going to ride a Harley. You're going to ride something really big that has sort of a cushy feel to it. And maybe it's not quite as nimble, but you're going to be riding it a lot and you're going to go farther. I wouldn't picture somebody riding a little ninja bike every day if I was talking about motorcycles.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, Paul, that's a great analogy, riding a little ninja bike. But my route that I have is 25 miles long, and I do ride at night, basically, or it's really very early in the morning before the sun even rises. And the reason I like to ride at that time of day is that there's no cars out and there's no people out.
That makes sense,
so,
right?
You know, I have an incredibly bright LED light on there, and I've got the warning lights on the back and everything, so I'm highly visible, plus I wear a vest and all that kind of stuff.
Good,
literally don't run into anybody.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what it is about this bike that it's so much fun. It corners like crazy sharp turns.
Yeah, right.
As opposed to a much bigger wheeled bicycle. I think my wife is going to kick my butt when we go out and ride. She hasn't gotten on hers yet, but we're going to take a vacation and take our bikes with us. And I think because of the larger, skinnier wheels, you know, I'm going to have to pedal pretty hard on those big, wide knobbies.
To catch up. But you're going to be able to go in little nooks and crannies and washes that maybe she can't. You're just going to be jumping these little platforms like a trick bike kind of thing.
Yeah.
You can do all sorts of stuff.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I really like about this bike, and the reason that I got into electric bikes, is I had a knee injury years ago from skiing. Had a meniscal tear, which was operated on, and they couldn't quite fix it altogether. So basically what I've got is a kind of a funky right knee.
Yeah,
and
right.
I figured, my bicycle days are over. So I sold all my bikes and I just figured, okay, that was a chapter in my life. Then I saw these electric bikes and it was a game changer. I mean, I literally hopped on one of these things. You know, I tried out all the different speeds that are the assist modes.
Right. There's different ways to configure it from full pedal to full throttle here, whatever you want to do.
Exactly.
Right.
And curiously enough, I started riding it without any assist.
Hmm.
You know, so pedaling this pretty heavy little bike around was challenging. But what I found is the best assist mode I had was number 2 out of 6. So what that gives me is just enough assist where it, my knee doesn't bother me, and yet I get a full workout. So
exactly.
My ride takes me, my 25-mile ride takes me just about 2 hours, and I burn about 1,300 calories. So it's not too bad of a workout.
See, you hit on something that I think I had a misconception about, and most do. Most people think of an electric bike. That's not a bike. It's more like a motorcycle. You just hit the throttle and you go, or it's a little moped or something here. And yet, most people, I think, aren't riding it full throttle all the time. They're using it for a bike, and the pedal is there to help, I hate to say it, aging baby boomers like me, when I need it, where I need it, on the hill, whatever. It's the excuse eliminator. Do you find that helps you get, it must do something because you do it every day. Is that part of why you do it every day? Because you can overcome the normal excuses. Oh, I'm too tired. My knee hurts. I can't go that far.
For two reasons. As you mentioned, you know, my knee hurts. Well, now my knee doesn't hurt anymore. And if it begins to tweak me just a little bit, mm-hmm. I know that I have to basically shift down in gears, not mm-hmm. put it in a different assist level. But the gear ratios on the Element are fantastic for going up. And I ride some pretty steep hills. It's not just flat.
So there you go. It's you're still pushing yourself up the hill, but when you need help, it's in your hand, right?
It really is. And that's the beauty of the thing. I mean, if you've got a car behind you, like we've got a very narrow road where it's only one direction, mm-hmm. And if I've got to get out of their way, I mean, I can pop it up into to the sixth assist.
You go. Right.
Assist rather mode. And, you know, I can go 20 miles an hour down the street, which gets out of the way of the car pretty fast.
Right.
Because the road opens up, you know.
Because 20 is where I think they're limited. But all e-bikes, I think, are limited at 20. I think that's the magic number, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, but 20 miles an hour on a bicycle, when you're going, you know, and up a hill is amazing. What's really funny, Paul, is when I'm out riding, occasionally I'll come across another rider, even though it's that early in the morning, they'll have their lights on too.
Yep.
And when they don't have an e-bike, you can tell the immediate difference when you're going up a hill.
I'll bet.
You absolutely kick their butt. Even when I only have it in the number two assist, and I'm pedaling and burning calories, I'm doing like 10 or 12 miles an hour up a hill.
There you go.
These poor guys are standing on their pedals, and I'm passing them, yelling at me, you know, like, this is unfair, and I'm not even out of my seat.
So it's a little satisfaction that comes with this. These younger hotshot guys on their touring bikes that are going to do 100 miles today. Once in a while, it's nice to pass them by and say, hey, I'm still going, and maybe I'm going a little faster than you are up this hill.
Exactly. And I'll turn my head and sort of laugh over my shoulder, and I said, it's an e-bike, you know.
So sue me. At least I'm still riding, right? So many people say, well, you know, an e-bike is not a real bike. Yes, it is. You can ride it like a real bike. It's just there to help you, and maybe it takes you a little farther, or maybe gets you out over the hump that would otherwise hold you back. But the real key about an e-bike is that you're still biking. You're still riding. It's up to you to decide how much assist you want.
Yeah. And you know what? You asked a question previously about getting out sort of every day. You know, why every day?
Why? Yeah.
You know, on a weekend or, you know, a couple of times a week. It's just become my morning ritual. And I found that exercise for me is not only good for my body, but it's excellent for my head.
Yeah. That's what I hear more and more people say. Okay, so I'm using the assist. I am getting exercise. And okay, sue me. So once in a while, I need some help going up the hill and doing some other things or getting over the hurdles or getting out of the way. But I'm still out there and I'm still pedaling. I'm still going. And what does that do to your psyche? We've had more and more people come to the show. It's never occurred to me just the power of getting out again for many who couldn't. My knee, I've had a car accident or something, or I had a knee injury, or I've had people had heart attacks, all sorts of things, and they were told, never again. You're going to be inside on the couch. That's all you're riding the rest of your life. To get out and get active again has some other unseen, I don't know if anybody's ever charted it, but some other value other than just the calories you're burning.
It really does. And, you know, toward that end, I developed what's called atrial flutter, which is basically when your heart on top, your top part of your heart beats faster than the lower part.
My wife has AFib,
you know, a couple of cardio versions to bring me back into rhythm and everything. But I find that, you know, when talking with my doctors, being in good physical shape, you know, actually helps prevent that kind of thing.
Interesting. And, now, do you ride alone or do you ride with a group? This sounds like an exercise that you do alone.
You know, my wife would say that I'm, you know, sort of a like a hermit or a loner. not because I don't enjoy people. I mean, I won't be the life of the party per se, but, you know, I can carry on some pretty nice conversations with people. But I've always liked to ride alone, hike alone, you know, be in the woods. I grew up on a 70-acre farm up in New Hampshire, and as a kid, I'd walk in the woods alone. I don't know. I just found the solace in doing that.
Well, and many people say that, but surprisingly, what struck me is how many of the e-bikers out there start alone and end up together. Because one of the things that stopped me from riding bikes, quite frankly, was that loneliness of being alone. I get the rider's high. You're out there experiencing and pushing yourself like running or anything else. But at some point, I just needed a buddy, a sidekick, just to get me up and say, come on, we're going to do it today, even though it's cold and rainy out or something.
Yeah, well, you know, toward that end, it was cold this morning here in Tucson. It was 26 degrees.
Oh, ouch.
So I went out riding. I've got a full kit, you know, of all the right clothing and everything else. And one of the things that I, for me anyway, is my, let's say my buddy, my riding buddy, is my earbuds and my iPhone. And I make all kinds of playlists. I'll get up at 3:30 in the morning and I'll get ready for my ride at 5, and I'll make a playlist that, you know, is very motivational to me, kind of like, you know, you're in a Zumba class.
Exactly.
And that's kind of my buddy.
Well, you talk in my language because, you know, as you can probably tell by the voice, I was a real disc jockey 100 million years ago, rock and roll DJ. And the biggest market I got to was in Norfolk, Virginia, a top 40 market. And so I grew up in the 70s and 80s. That's when I came of age in college and all this. That's when we did. It's mixtapes, right? We're all exchanging our private mixes here. So now people kind of do that with their iBuds and their playlists on their phone or whatever. I was almost going to say their iPods, but I don't think anybody uses those anymore. But that idea of putting together that mix that gets you up and going, that sounds like that's what you do.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's so much fun. And with Siri on my iPhone, I mean, I can, you know, I can call up any number of different playlists.
Yeah.
The other thing that's really interesting, Paul, is that I'm a very avid amateur photographer.
Oh, okay.
And getting up in the morning, depending on when I start, which is usually around 5, but if I get out around 5:30, the sun starts to come up.
Yeah.
And Tucson is a really beautiful place for photography.
The spectacular vista of the sunrise. But people I know that are photographers always say, I'm always taking it in the midday sun. And they're like, are you nuts? You get it at twilight. You get it at the break of day. That's when you get the really good light.
Yeah, and that's what I do. So it's great when I have my iPhone on me, because I can just pull over and take, you know, some magnificent pictures of the sun coming up, you know, through a saguaro cactus or the magnificent clouds formations that are out here. So it's kind of a double whammy. I mean,
you're an artist on your bike. You're not just doing trick wheelies or I don't know. Can you do wheelies? You can't do stuff like that on your bike.
I was thinking about that the other day. I thought maybe I'd try a wheelie, but the bike is heavy. You know, I got to say, you know, they're not like, you know, a carbon fiber bike these days where you can do a wheelie really easily.
Right. Just yank on the handlebars and get up on one wheel here or something.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was afraid I might go over. So I think.
Me too. Yeah. I've done a wheelie since I was 12, I think, here.
Yeah, exactly. Remember, and we all used to do wheelies when we were kids and just try to ride it for as long as you could before you crash.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So do you have it tricked out any other thing? I hear more and more people say once they get the bike and get going, then they got to personalize it. And I'm thinking, is it like when I was a kid, I had to have streamers on it? I had to have playing cards on the spokes?
On the wheels, you know, to make that clickety-clack noise.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I've got mine, you know, pseudo-tricked up. what do I have? I've got the little mud flaps, which
that gives a certain look to it.
Dealer said it was my birthday when we came in to buy them, and he said I'm going to throw these in for free, but the mud flaps really make it look cool.
Yeah, right.
So I said, yeah, that's I got
retro kind of. It almost looks like the old radio flyer of I don't know something, whatever. I picture these things that had mud flaps on them. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the bike came with a. With basically a rack on the back, which I thought, you know, really, you know, made the bike very cool looking.
Right.
I did change over when I went down to the Tucson dealer, which I've got to say, they're fantastic people down there.
We've had them on the show. They seemed like pretty cool people here. Yeah.
They're so helpful and
so into this. Yeah, they're definitely they're part of the tribe. They're not just selling a product; they're part of the tribe.
They really are, and I can't say enough good things about them. And the mechanic, Jesus, came up to me when I brought my bike in for some maintenance, and he said, "Hey, Jack, check this out. Pedego just came up with a front shock fork." Or your bike. So instead of having just a straight fork, you can put shocks on there in order to absorb, you know, some of the pounding that happens either out on the road or out on the trail.
Or down in that wash when you're going over those rocks. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So, you know, I was sold immediately and I put that on. I've got a water bottle, a very big, oversized, like Camelback stainless water bottle, kind of like what's sitting over your right shoulder in your office.
Yeah, exactly. Right. There's one right there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's about that size.
Yeah.
And then what else did I put on? I've got my high intensity LED light, which is I need to have, which flashes and, you know, keeps a constant stream as well when I'm riding fully in the dark. I put a couple of stickers on it, one on my water bottle.
Stickers. Of course, you got to have stickers on it.
Yeah. I mean, one of my friends back east was really big on having sort of like a talisman on his bike, you know?
Oh.
And so he had...
What does he have, like a little dancing hula girl like I used to have on my car?
Almost like that. And, and it was like a, you know, almost like a little toy soldier that he literally just took string and tied to his seat post.
Oh, man.
And so, you know, I've got a couple of these. They're called... The icon or the image is the Punisher, which is basically a skull, and it has sort of this long droopy face to it, but it's an American flag.
Is this like the comic book The Punisher or something?
Sort of like that. And so those are my talismans.
So you're riding with somebody then. You're not riding alone. You got a little crew with you here. You got some little gremlins and talisman and other.
Exactly.
You know, you've got your familiars. You're the wizard with your little cat, black cat on the back, and your familiars you're riding along with here. You're surrounding yourself with a little community here that supports you and gives you magic powers. That's what I thought when I was a kid. These things gave me magic powers.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you and I are virtually the same age. So
I can see that. You're hitting all my themes.
how could you trip your bike up? You're right, with the streamers or the playing card or the clothespin and that kind of stuff.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I did all that stuff. It not only made me feel like it was going faster, but I felt like I had superpowers. I don't know why. But it was flowing. It was doing something. And you tack a little cart, a little soldier on the front. Somehow, I don't know what that is, but it gives you magic.
Yeah, it does. And at one point, I did have my iPhone on my crossbars.
Uh-huh.
Pedego makes one of the best mounts for smartphones.
I was going to say, I've seen it. It's pretty sharp. And then now you can put a route or you can see information and stuff. Yeah.
And so when I was first learning my route and, you know, how much mileage I wanted to put in, I'd have my iPhone up there. Now I put my iPhone in a little fanny pack and it just rides behind me. But one of the other things, you know, sort of what gives me power, if not anything, is all the wildlife that I see.
So yeah.
In Tucson, I run across coyotes on a regular basis, javelina, which look like... little wild boars, you know.
That one you got me. I don't even know what that one is. Okay.
Yeah, they're sort of crazy little animals, and they run in packs, as do coyotes most of the time. The other thing that happened to me on a ride, which is, it only has happened once, but there are these birds out there called nighthawks, and they only fly at night, and they look like a giant swallow.
Okay. I guess I'm not out doing much at night. I don't see nighthawks. Yeah,
and it was really interesting because it was a pretty buggy day and they feed on the bugs, and they also are known to fly over. And I've seen them over restaurants that have lights that point up into the sky,
sure,
so they can actually illuminate the bugs. So I had my high power LED going, and there was a bunch of bugs in the air, and all of a sudden down swoops like this whole flock. There must have been about 20 of them that came in at me, and they would swoop in front of me and then back of me and everything else. And it was an extraordinary sight. It's never happened to me again, but to see all these birds with a wingspan of about 2.5 feet coming in and feeding off all these bugs in front of me, it was
just proves again that you are not just the pathfinder, you're the night rider.
Yeah, you know, and it was interesting this morning. I was riding along and I was like, you don't want to get a vanity plate that says Knight Rider.
I think you got to. Well, I hope you'll send us some pictures so we can post them along with this of how you tricked this thing out, or pictures you've taken along the way. We'd love to share those with the community as well, because what you've shown is this isn't just an exercise bike that I pedal around the block, or that I pedal in a stationary position in my garage here until I grunt and can't do anymore. This is an adventure you're on here. You're Johnny Quest again. I'm gonna bring you back to another cartoon character here. You're Johnny Quest.
What was one of my favorite all-time favorite cartoons?
Didn't we all love Johnny Quest? Bring back Johnny Quest. You're Johnny Quest. You're out. You're the night rider. You know, or the night DJ. You know, playing the late night shift here and seeing the world that's
favorite,
out there.
Yeah, This electric bike has changed my life, and now is my favorite form of exercise. I used to do a lot of walking. We have a rowing machine that's collecting dust.
Yeah, me
now,
too.
My Pedego Element is the bomb. It is really, it's a blast to ride. And as I said, I get some exercise. I get to be in nature. You know, I get to be out there at night, which I love to ride at night. I don't know why people call me crazy and everything else. I just like it. And this
only thing I think is crazy is why we're not all riding along with you. Why we've told ourselves, I can't ride a bike anymore. I can't go out at night. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't go very far anymore. I can't. You found that you can, and it's
And an electric bike made the difference. I couldn't without an electric bike. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Well, we couldn't have had such a wonderful conversation with that. What a blast. What a cool thing to hear you talking about this. And I look forward to more stories of your magic adventures here and the magic that you make when you go out on that bike every single day. Wow, that's magical itself.
Yeah. Unless it's raining. It's a little slippery, you know, when it's raining. But
I'll give you that one. But even to get up, I'd do it for a week, and then I'd say, I don't know, I'm sleeping in this morning. I think I'm going to bed early. That's dedication. And it shows it's given you something more than just a workout. It's somehow opened up a world to you and given you an adventure. You're on an adventure here. I hope we can ride along and hear more about it.
Well, Paul, I really appreciate your time. This has been an absolute blast to talk to
you. I've enjoyed it. You've hit all my cultural icons here, from little talisman on my little soldiers I'm going to put on my bike. I forgot I did that too. All right. Thanks for joining us here today and for sharing your story. What a cool story.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, there you have it, folks. If that doesn't make you want to tune in, I don't know what will, because for people of a certain age, isn't that what it's all about? Finding the magic again here. Going out on an adventure. Well, that's what we do each and every week here. We welcome you to the Pedego Podcast as we continue to explore this e-bike revolution with the entrepreneurs driving it and the love stories of those making it happen. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net.